epistle general of Peter, the second and the third verses. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. David, in the 119th Psalm, sings of the excellencies of the Word of God. The Word of God was the very soul, the very heart of David's religion. He tells us that it was by the Word of God that he had been quickened. It was by the Word of God that he had been sanctified. It was by the Word of God that he was warned. It was by the Word of God that he was encouraged and consoled and gladdened. It was by the Word of God that he was succored in time of temptation. And because of this, the Word of God was exceedingly precious to David. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. This was David's experience, and it was because of this that he could say, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. And again I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. But if this is David's experience, it is also the experience of every child of God in some measure. The children of God at regeneration are given a relish for the Word of God, and they hunger and they thirst after it as the very food of their souls. And oh, then, how appropriate, how fitting is this exhortation of the Apostle Peter that is found in the second chapter of his epistle. Those of you, he says, who have tasted that the Lord is gracious, desire the sincere milk of the word as newborn babes, that ye may grow thereby. But if this exhortation is most appropriate, it is also very necessary. For must we not often confess that our appetite for the Word of God is very poor, and the Word of God, instead of being counted as more necessary than our daily food, is neglected, or at best read formally, coldly, or indifferently. It is read out of a sense of duty, and not with a hunger and thirst to be fed by the Word of the living God. Was that the case with some of those to whom the Apostle Peter was writing, I wonder? Was this why he felt it necessary to make this exhortation? At any rate, whether that was the case or not, surely we do well to pause and to consider this exhortation of the Apostle Peter, an exhortation that is addressed to the living family of God, to those who have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And what is it? That we should desire the sincere pure milk of the Word. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There are three things to which I would like to draw your attention this morning as we consider this exhortation of the Apostle Peter that we should desire the sincere milk of the Word. And the first is this, the manner in which we should desire the sincere milk of the Word as newborn babes. And secondly, the reason why we should desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And then thirdly, the incentive to this duty, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Or if you like, we may divide it in this manner. This text tells us how we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word, why we are to desire it, and thirdly, who it is that should desire it, those that have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Very well then, as God may be pleased to help us by His gracious Spirit, let us consider these three things. Firstly then, how we should desire the sincere milk of the Word. What does the Apostle say? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, the Apostle Peter is not necessarily stating the character of the people to whom he is writing, but rather he is instituting a comparison. It is true, of course, that the living family of God may be divided up. There are those who are babes in Christ. There are those who are young men. And there are those who are fathers. Fathers in grace. And this division does not refer so much to the natural age of the people. It refers to their state in grace, to their experience, to their sanctification. There are some who are babes in Christ, there are young men, and there are fathers. But the Apostle Peter is not so much here merely addressing the first group as those that are babes in Christ. He is not, I say, describing the character of those to whom he is writing, but rather he is instituting a comparison. What he's saying is this, just as newborn babes desire their mother's milk, so do ye, whoever you are, whether you are babes, whether you are young men, whether you are fathers in grace, it doesn't matter. Whoever you are, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, so you ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. The Apostle, you see, is instituting a comparison. And oh, what a graphic comparison. As newborn babes, just as newborn babes desire their mother's milk, so do ye desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Well, we must ask ourselves, what then is the meaning that this comparison conveys? How is it that newborn babes desire their mother's milk? Well, this week I have had opportunity to observe this for the first time. And I would suggest to you that when the Apostle Peter makes this exhortation that as newborn babes we should desire the sincere milk of the Word, I would suggest to you, first of all, that the Apostle Peter means that we should desire the sincere milk of the Word frequently, oh, how frequently does the newborn babe desire its mother's milk? How frequently is the slumber of the parents disturbed by the plaintive cry, a cry of hunger, a cry of thirst? How frequently, when those I watched this phenomenon, I had cause to ask myself, do I desire the word of God like that? Do I long for it as frequently as a newborn babe desires its mother's milk? Every few hours there is a cry of hunger, a cry of need, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Children of God, do you desire the word of God like that? Is it a frequent desire that wells up within your soul, a hunger and a thirst for the word of God, because you know that you cannot live without it, because your souls crave for it? How frequently do you read your Bible? Is it just a matter of duty, a matter of form, a matter of custom? Or is there a longing within the heart that causes you to desire to read the word of God frequently, often? But if a newborn babe desires its mother's milk frequently, it also desires it hungrily. I might even say greedily, frequently, yet greedily. One would be almost tempted to think that the little babe had never had its needs of hunger and of thirst satisfied before. So greedily does it take its mother's milk. And oh, the question comes to us all, doesn't it? Do we desire the word of God like that? Are we hungering and thirsting for the word of God? Are we greedy for the word of God? Is there a holy craving? Is there a spiritual hunger and thirst for the word of God as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby? How frequently, how greedily. Let us consider also how helplessly the newborn babe cries for its mother's milk. It is a cry of hunger, but it is a cry of utter helplessness. Oh, the helplessness of a newborn babe. It is not able to help itself. It cannot feed itself. It can only cry in order that the hearts of the parents may be moved with tender pity for the needs of their little one, and that they may hurry to supply the needs of hunger and of thirst. I say the babe cries not only frequently, not only hungrily, but also helplessly. How helpless is the newborn babe? But oh, are we like that when we come to the word of God? Do we come to it frequently? Do we come to it hungrily? And oh, do we come to it helplessly? Are we conscious that we cannot feed ourselves, that we are dependent upon every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? Do we cry to him with that cry of hunger and with that cry of utter helplessness, that God would break to us the bread of life and feed our hungry souls? That he would satisfy the hungry with good things? Or do we come to the word of God as those who know how to get from it what we desire? Do we pride ourselves on our understanding of it? Or are we conscious of our utter helplessness, of our blindness, of our inability to feed ourselves? Oh, if so, there will be a cry that is a cry of helplessness. We will pray with David, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wonderful things that are contained in thy law." The cry of utter helplessness. Oh, blessed indeed are those that thus approach this living word of God, who come to it as those who cannot help themselves, who beseech God for the gracious operations of the Holy Spirit. Make the book live to me. For rather, it is not the book that is dead. The book is a living book. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But oh, it is our souls that are dead. And often the children of God must complain with David in the 119th Psalm, "My soul cleaveth to the dust. Oh, quicken me that I may run in the way of thy precepts." Do you know something of that, children of God? Your soul's cleaving to the dust. Oh, for the quickening of the word. Oh, that God by his Spirit may breathe upon the word, and that he may satisfy the hungering and the thirsting that is in our hearts for the living word. Or is there such a hunger? A frequent cry. A cry of hunger. A cry of helplessness. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And oh, you know, if we might be unable to come to this book like that, if on our knees before God we may turn its sacred pages frequently, hungering and thirsting for the living word, unconscious of our utter helplessness, of our inability to feed ourselves, oh, then we would find that such pity as a father hath unto his children dear, like pity shows the Lord to those who worship him in fear. What tender pity is in the heart of parents for their little ones when they hear that frequent, that cry of hunger and that cry of helplessness. How speedily do they minister to its needs. And oh, we would discover that there is tender pity in the heart of God for those who are conscious of their helplessness, for those who hunger and thirst for his living word. And they would discover that though he turns the rich empty away, yet he satisfies the hungry with good things. And that though the lions may lack and suffer hunger, yet they that seek the Lord shall want no manner of thing that is good, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. But why? Why should we desire the word of God like that? Well, the apostle tells us, "For this reason, that ye may grow thereby." It is essential to spiritual growth. And no one can grow spiritually without the word of God, without the Spirit of God applying that word unto their soul. It is by this word that we are brought to birth, that we are brought to life. The Apostle Peter, at the close of this first chapter of his first epistle, tells us, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." If we have been born again, it is by the Spirit and by the word of God. We cannot be born again without the Word of God. It is the Spirit working in and through the Word of God. I will never forget thy precepts, said David. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. We are brought to birth by this word, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is his word, which by the gospel is preached unto you. Oh, it is the glad tidings of salvation that are the means of quickening those that are dead in trespasses and sin. I am not ashamed, says the Apostle Paul, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God, which is by faith revealed to faith, as it is written, those that are just by faith shall live. Oh, this is a quickening word. It is a word that gives life to those that are dead in trespasses and sin. The Spirit and the Word. The Spirit working in and through the Word, quickening those that are dead in trespasses and sin. I shall never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast quickened me. But if the Word of God is the means by which life is given to dead sinners, it is also the means of their growth. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. It is this Word of God that is the means, through the operation of the Holy Spirit, of spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul tells us in his second epistle to Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Oh, and is not that why our Lord Jesus Christ, in his high priestly prayer recorded in John 17, prayed for his people, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, my friends, this is the way to grow. This is the way to grow spiritually, by the Word of God, the Spirit working in and through the Word. And that is why we should, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. Oh, my dear friends, do you long to grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you long to know something of dying more and more to sin, of dying more and more to self, and what it is to walk in newness of life, in communion with God? Do you long to be holy? Do you long to be pure, even as he is pure? Oh, I know that in the hearts of God's children there is some response to these questions, for it is a mark of grace that every true child of God longs to be holy, to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Why, it is to this for which they have been predestinated by God the Father before the foundations of the world. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated for what? To be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. This is the promise of the covenant of grace. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in the way of my precepts. Change, says the Apostle Paul, from glory to glory. So is this our heart's longing, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to know more of him, in all that he is for a poor sinner, to die to self, to sin, that the Christ, the life of Christ might be manifested in us. So is that our heart's longing? Then it is through the Word of God that that longing may be supplied. The Spirit of God working in and through the Word. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. What is it to grow? Well, it's not to grow in our opinion of ourselves. It's not to grow in self-complacency and in self-satisfaction so that we may say, well, I can see that I'm progressing. I'm going on from strength to strength. I'm no longer a babe. I'm one of the fathers. Oh, no, that's not it. It's a great mystery, you know, to grow in grace. It's a mystery that is re-echoed in the words of John the Baptist, used in a different sense. He must increase, and I must decrease. Oh, that's it, my friend. What is it to grow? It is to die. To die more and more to sin, to self, and to live more and more to him. I am crucified with Christ, said the Apostle Paul. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Oh, we see it in the experience of the Apostle Paul. You remember he describes himself before his conversion. Saul of Tarsus, the self-righteous, self-satisfied, self-complacent Pharisee. What does he say about himself? I was alive, living. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I, the self-righteous Pharisee, I died. Well, that's it, my friend. That was the beginning of it, when Saul of Tarsus died, and Paul the Apostle was made. That's how it began. And then we find him writing a little later, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints is this grace given. Here was a man who had labored more than them all, and yet he describes himself as less than the least, the chief of sinners, dying, you see, to sin, to the self-life, to the I, that the life of Christ might be manifested. My nature, you see, it is I. But grace cancels it out and turns the I into a cross. We die to sin that the life of Christ might be manifested in us. But in all things, even in sanctification, he might have the preeminence. That Christ Jesus shall be made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Oh, that's it, isn't it? That's what it is to grow. It's to grow less and less in our own eyes, and for Christ to grow more and more as the preeminent one, the all-sufficient one, the one who is all suitable to meet our every need. And how shall we thus grow? It is by the Word of God. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. You see, it is by the Word of God, isn't it, that we gain the knowledge of ourselves. It is the law of God which we discover to be exceeding broad, that it is a mirror into which we look and we see ourselves. And oh, may God prevent us from going away and forgetting what manner of men we are, but grant that we may look into this word and that we may see our own portrait, that we may see ourselves as vile, corrupt, abominable, loathsome creatures in God's sight. And oh, if we get such a view of ourselves, we shall learn what it is to die more and more to self. And then Christ Jesus will become exceedingly precious. And how do we learn of him? It is again through the word. Search the scriptures, said Jesus, for they are they which testify of me. The scriptures are a field, and Christ is the treasure that is hidden within the field. Oh, let us sell all to possess it, and let us search until we find this great treasure. Luther calls the scriptures the swaddling clothes that hold the infant Christ. Oh, that we might hunger and thirst after God, after Christ, and that we may search the word of God. For it is by the word of God and the operation of the Holy Spirit that Christ Jesus is revealed as the Savior and the Redeemer of sinners, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is that your longing? Is that your desire? Oh, then as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Oh, what a tragedy it is that some of God's family are so slow to grow. When we are born into the family of God and adopted by adoptive grace into his family and given the name of son, we are born as babes in Christ. And oh, how tender we should be of the babes in Christ. How we should seek to minister to their baby needs. Here a little and there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept, giving the portion to all. But oh, what a pity it is when some of those little babes remain as little babes. They don't grow up into Christ, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, this is what the Apostle Paul must say to the Corinthians. He wanted to bring before them glorious truths that are hidden in God's word. But he said, I could not write unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you what is the first principles of the oracles of God. Oh, you see, they were still unskillful in the word of God. The apostle tells us, and such a man, well, he is a babe. We begin as babes, but we should not continue as babes. We should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what God in his sovereignty may do, I know not. But according to his revealed will, we should grow. And that is why the Apostle Paul makes this exhortation, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow. Oh, must God complain of us, when for the time ye ought to be teachers, yet it's necessary that you should be treated as little babes. How tragic it is for the parents when they discover the little babe that God has given them doesn't grow. There's something wrong then. Here's something abnormal. Oh, that we may not be like that, but that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we may learn more and more to live upon Christ by faith, to die more and more unto sin, and to live unto him, to walk in newness of life, that he may increase, and that we may decrease. And there's only one way for that to take place. It is by the word of God, the Spirit applying the word. Then desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. But consider, thirdly and lastly, the incentive which the apostle gives to encourage us to the performance of this duty. If so be, he says, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We said we might look at this as a description of the character of those who are thus exhorted. Who are those that should desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow? Oh, it is those that have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You see, if there is to be growth, there must be spiritual life first of all. Those that are yet dead in trespasses and sins cannot grow. They must be quickened. They must be born anew. They must be born again. They must be quickened by the word of God, which is sharp and quicker than any two-edged sword. And when that has taken place, then they should earnestly desire to feed upon the word of God that they may grow. Those of them that have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And oh, you know, they are the only ones that will desire the sincere milk of the word. Those that have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, do you know something of that? Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Oh, if so, then there has been placed in your heart a relish for the word of God. You've got a spiritual sense, a spiritual appetite, spiritual longing, spiritual desires that can only be met by spiritual food, that bread which cometh down from heaven, the word of God, the living word of God, the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The words that I speak, he said, they are spirit and they are life. And we must be spiritual. We must be born again with a new spiritual life if we are to feed upon this hidden manna, if our souls are to be satisfied with the good things of God's table. But oh, if we know something of these things, and we have been given to taste the good word of God, oh, then in some measure there will be an appetite for spiritual things. There will be some delight in the ordinances of God, in the preaching of the word, and in the praising of his name. There will be some poring over this book in secret, some longing that God would bless it to our souls. Just as our Lord by the Sea of Galilee took bread, blessed it, and gave to the multitudes, that so he would take this bread, that he would break it, and that he would feed our hungry, our thirsty souls. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. This is not so much an expression of doubt as to whether this was the case of those to whom the Apostle Peter was writing, but it is rather an appeal to their experience. It is not for saying, now if it's really true that you've tasted, oh no, what he's saying is, seeing that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, how pleasant it is to appeal to the experience of God's people, to know that within them there is something that will respond to the word of God. They have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And how appealing then is this incentive of the Apostle Peter. If you've tasted this, oh, then you shall long to taste more. Then as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. have we tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, how gracious indeed is the Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us, the 10th chapter of his epistle to the Romans, that the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. How gracious he has been unto the family of God, that he undertook to be their surety and their representative before God, to act on their behalf, that he undertook to take upon himself humanity, to be born as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, to fulfill the law on their account, and to die in their room and death. Oh, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And oh, how gracious he is to us in our experience. How gracious he was to us when the law of God had bruised us and broken us and harrowed us and plowed us up. And we were smarting under the wounds that God had made by his arrows. And behold, there came one that was gracious to us. He poured in oil into our wounds, lifted us from the dunghill, and set our feet upon a rock, and put a new song into our mouths, even praise unto our God. Oh, how gracious Christ Jesus is to a poor sinner who has learned to bemoan and to bewail his sins in the sight of God, who has learned something of the plague of his own heart. When God has opened the fountain of the deep, and all the billows of his wrath have gone over us, and we sink in utter despair of ourselves, in utter hopelessness and helplessness, we sing before one who is gracious. Oh, how gracious he was, that he did not cast us away when we were polluted in our blood, that he manifested grace and mercy. He gave us some view of himself in his all-sufficiency and in his all-suitability to meet our every need. And we began to long for him, to hunger and thirst after him. We began to cry for mercy, mercy as it is revealed in Jesus. The law driving us to him and he drawing us to him. And we prayed, draw and we will run after thee. He draws us with cords of everlasting love, and our unwilling feet are made willing to run in the way of his precepts. And our hardened hearts are broken and contrite as the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which he has given us. And Christ becomes all in all to us, exceedingly precious, as the gracious one. Oh, do you know something of that? Maybe only a taste, doesn't matter. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, oh, then desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Oh, blessed indeed are those that have been given a taste, that have been given a relish for spiritual food, that have tasted something of that bread that is on God's table, that hidden manna which delights the soul, that rejoices the heart more than in the time when their corn and their wine increased. Oh, do we know something of that? I appeal to your experience. Do you know something of that? Oh, then if so, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You've been given a taste. Oh, if this is a fountain and you may drink this, at this fountain of living water. It is a well of water that springeth up unto everlasting life, overflowing, floods upon the dry ground. If we've tasted, surely we long to taste more. We've tasted the earthly streams. Jesus has told us, he that drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water that springeth up unto everlasting life. And whoso drinketh of this water shall never thirst. Never thirst. Oh yes, increasing thirst. But for this water, and this is a water that satisfies, ever thirsting, ever satisfying, to drink of those, of that river, the streams whereof may glad the city of our God. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, oh, how gracious he is to a poor sinner. Grace that is manifested in blood and in righteousness. Grace that is manifested in strength in our weakness. And it is all through his word and by his spirit. Oh, that we might hunger and thirst for more of it. Oh, that our souls may pray for the longing that they have for his word. Oh, if so, we shall discover that though the lions may lack and suffer hunger, the strong they shall lack and suffer hunger, but those that seek the Lord shall want no manner of thing that is good. And we shall sing with Mary that he turneth the rich empty away, that he satisfieth the hungry with good things. Oh, may God give us a hunger and a thirst for his living word, that we may cry to him frequently, that we may cry to him hungrily and helplessly, that he himself may come and that he may break his word and feed our souls. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. Oh, that we might learn to come to him and to pray. Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit longs for thee, O living word. Let us pray. O gracious God, blessed indeed are those that hunger and that thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. O give unto us to hunger and to thirst after thee, O living God, and O satisfy our hungry souls with good things. O grant that we may eat the flesh and drink the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For whosoever eateth his flesh and drinketh his blood hath eternal life. O grant that we may learn as newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. If so be that we have tasted that thou, O Lord, art gracious, rich unto all that call upon thee. O Lord, grant that we may learn what this is in our own experience, that so our souls may be satisfied with good things, and unto thee shall be given all the glory. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.